Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN Tuesday evening. End of the month here, August 31st, 2021. Deborah with you this evening. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. A pleasure to be here with you. It's always an honor to join in faith under the purposes and the will of God and to lift up his word and his spirit and to magnify his name amongst his people. Is a beautiful thing. It's happening in heaven, and it's happening on earth here at PGN. Hey, I hope everyone is having a good day and a blessed day. I know sometimes we can hit some speed bumps. I had a couple of speed bumps today. It's okay, though. I'm a good driver. So, figuratively speaking, okay. Anyways, it's just laughing. You have to laugh at yourself and life and not take it too serious. Isn't it like you get bogged down sometimes? Well, hey, so I have this word. So what happened was in church on Sunday, this past Sunday, I bet you were in church too or you listened online and something inspired you. And so as we were talking, the pastor was talking, did an excellent job, really. I'm very grateful for his wisdom and insight and for his due diligence in the Word of God and then to bring it to the people. I do appreciate it. Anyways, he was talking about 1 Corinthians 3, which I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to talk about one verse. But as he was talking, I was And literally, so my brain got stuck on my thought pattern, got stuck on verse 12, and I was thinking, so I wonder if I looked these specific words up, like what would they mean, even though he was giving practical things as well, and honestly, it's a great job. It's just, and I think the Holy Spirit just drew me in that way, as he does, where I just start thinking about something, and then I begin to search it out and dig it out. And whatnot. And so as I was writing some stuff out and looking over this, I don't normally do this, but I think maybe the Holy Spirit had me do this just to collectively gather my thoughts and get them in order. But because then I was thinking, oh, this kind of builds on last week, like it overlaps. And then, oh, wait, the week before I talked about what? I think that overlaps with the same type of theme or whatever, principle and theme for the church, if you will. And then this one's really is specifically the initial thought for I had was individually as individuals, but it can apply corporately as well. Well, in our place corporately, but the others are a little bit more for the church. But so here it was. So, okay. So there's a Tuesday in the month of August. So it's July, August. So August is the eighth month, which is new beginnings too. Okay. So, and I think this is like even over the church. So there was five Tuesdays in August. So the first one I just talked, I'm just going to recap this just for the sake of, this is actually probably more for my sake than anyone's, but okay, so the first one was Romans 12, 1 and 2, just about renewing our mind. The second week I talked about the transfiguration / resurrection and kind of what happened there. And talking about the church, and the Lord gave me that word too. So, and then I talked about 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21 about prophecy and what it looked like for a trustworthy prophecy to receive, what was a trustworthy prophecy and to receive it. Okay. And then the 20 Corinthians 4, 2 about renouncing and then the manifestations of truth. Right. And so this week, I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to read verse 12. Okay, I'm going to read verse 12. And this is really where I'm going to land, and I'm going to draw out each one of these symbolic symbols here in which we're talking about. So in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12, it says, "But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will clearly be shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it. And because it is to be revealed with fire, the fire will test the quality and character of the worth of each person's work. Okay, I'm reading in the Amplified because it worked out well for this particular verse. So this is actually talking to Christians, that's you and I, about the Bema Seat of Christ, okay? And where our gifts and things are going to be stand the test of fire. But it's actually where it's going to test the quality of our work that we did before the Lord. And this is where we're going to receive compensation for our work. So even going into this Bema Seat, there's good things that are following us. The reason that we're even going in there, it's not that God's going to shame us. There's no condemnation, right? Some things are going to get burned up, but the reason that the Lord has even prepared the quality of our work is because what's going to come forth is compensation for you, compensation for me. We're going to receive things from the Lord. There's crowns, right? There's the different crowns that he talks about. And whatever other compensations that the Lord has for us according to our work and according to the things that are tested and tried and true. Okay, that is the purpose of it. The purpose isn't of it to bring us there to shame us, okay? Although some things will get burned up because they're not necessary. And so praise God. Well, the word of the Lord, listen, even as I was doing this, there was a word that came forth I was praying about someone, for someone, excuse me. And so I just said, I only have a few minutes. I'm like, I'm about to do a blog talk. I said, I was writing this verse out, and I believe this verse is for you. And I just sent that to them, and I did it in faith, sending it forth. And anyway, they just said, thank you. So here's what I was going to say, is that the word of the Lord is going to go forth and let it be a purpose that in which it was, it will accomplish that in which it was purposed and sent forth to do in Jesus' name. So when you get a word for somebody like that and you think about them and it's in faith, and don't try to reason it out in your own thinking and rationale, or you judge it according to their thinking and according to their acceptance of it or approval of it. You just send it forth like an arrow and let it land where it needs to land in Jesus' name. For somebody, I don't know. Okay, so going back to this verse, let me just read at the beginning, so from verse 10 to 16, and then I'm going to go back. Thought, well, I'm going to look up literally what gold, I mean, I know what gold is in the practical, but is there some type of prophetic, like what is the greater understand, like a deeper type of understanding of what this would be, and especially want to understand what the wood, hay, and straw would be, because definitely want to stay away from those, right? Keep that in check. So here we go. So verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 10 anyway. Again, I'm reading an Amplified this evening on this particular one. According to the remarkable grace of God, which was given to me, this is Paul speaking, to prepare me for my task, like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation. And now another is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it. So he's speaking to us individually as well as corporately. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, this is true. Okay, this is true. Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. We also, friends, follow Jesus Christ in what he built and how he laid down his life, right? He is our supreme example, and we're also following him. So it's an intricate facet in how we look at the foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. And then again, we get to verse 12 that says, but if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality and character and worth of each person's work. Okay, so the Lord knows our motives and the intent and motive of our heart. If any person's work, which has built on this foundation, that is any outcome of its effort, remains and survives the test, praise the Lord, he will receive a reward. So we will be getting rewards, some crowns, but there's a reward. Again, the whole process of this, the Bema Seat, and going through the fire, of being already called his child, okay? Again, just want to reiterate, it's not, it is for the sake of reward. So if you're called to the Bema seat, there is a compensation coming for you, okay? A reward. Verse 15, but if any person's work is burned up by the test, he will suffer loss of his reward. Yet he himself will be saved, but not as one who has barely escaped through fire. Wow, that's scary. Listen, the pastor shared this. He said, which I thought was an interesting thought too. He said how in the Bible it talks about the Lord collecting our tears and putting them in a bottle. He believes, feel the anointing on this, he believes that some of these tears are going to be tears of suffering the loss of what some could have had. And I hope this is a wake-up call to someone who's listening. I don't know, man, but it is. So some of these tears, again, it's going to be over suffering the loss of a reward for Christ. And he's speaking to Christians. Okay, he is speaking to Christians. Okay? Okay. But if any person's work is burned up, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who has barely escaped through the fire. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Verse 16, do you know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually? I didn't realize that was in there. If anyone destroys the temple of God, corrupting it with false, he is saying, like, rid yourself from deceit, from malice, from all these other things, right? But you can corrupt the temple of God with false doctrine. This is why we need to renounce things, right? We go back to the renouncing, and this is from false doctrine. God will destroy the destroyer, for the temple of God is holy, sacred, and that is who you are. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you see it and you call it as it is, right? The Lord sees it and calls it as it is, and we receive it. God, we receive the temple in which you call holy. God, may it remain sacred, God. We just renounce false doctrine, God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for any false doctrine that may have fallen in our ears and our thinking, God, in our mind and our hearts, God, and in the ways that we serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just renounce that and ask you to purify that again, God, as holy, Lord. We do not want to have any type of deceit or corruption in us, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we receive, God, we receive who we are in you, Lord, just as Paul did. He received who he was in you, God. We receive it, Lord. We receive it and live out of it. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay, so let me go back to the spontaneous prayer there. Let me go back to gold. So gold is a precious thing. And in the Greek, I did look it up in the Greek, and it talks about the image made of gold. Okay, prophetically, it's speaking of God's divine, because I did look up these symbols in my prophetic book, or like the dream book. So symbolically, prophetically, same reference. Track. Gold, which are precious things, right? So God's divine nature, the glory, faith of the saints, and precious treasures. So things that were poured out before the Lord as well, as we see in Scripture. We also, if we can take these things and look at, okay, if God is the reconciler, Christ, okay, Colossians 1:20, where Christ reconciled all things to himself, to him, okay, all things are reconciled to him, whether on earth or in heaven, by the blood on the cross. This is how they happened. So if we think about these elements, the gold, silver, and precious stones, and then the wood, hay, and stubble, and we think about how they're reconciled and how they were used in Scripture on earth, okay, because they've been reconciled to him, and then how they are now being used in heaven. Okay, so where we see gold when in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, when we're seeing these things and laying the foundation, right, laying the foundation of gold, and these things are there because of what Christ did, right? This is why we follow him. And the same element within that scripture is in following him. So if no one lays a foundation other than on Jesus Christ, well, the same is true of following after him, because we're created in his image and we follow after him. And he has laid up those things in heaven, gold, silver, precious stones, right? Costly things, pearls, you know, precious stones. These things are found in heaven because of what Christ did on earth. So if we follow Christ in a simplistic way, or a simplistic understanding to bring this out, if we follow Christ being conformed to his image, we will produce as Christ did, right? We will produce the costly things and the precious things and be building on that. Okay, so silver, as it refers to silver with which the columns of noble buildings were covered and adorned. That's one of the things. And it says things made of silver. Okay, vessels and images of God. Well, we bear God's image, okay, right? So we think of the word, even where it says the word of God is refined as silver, as truth, refined as silver seven times. It's truth as that, okay? So, and vessels, we are God's vessels. So we carry that image and we reflect that image, okay? When we're doing that, those are building on precious things. And prophetically, it has to do with, because even our best carry or reflect anything without actually receiving from Christ first, which would be his mercy, his grace, and his redemption. Okay, so everything that we do should reflect Christ, right? And we should be second, you know, we should be second, and Christ should be adorned. Christ should be lifted up on high, you know, while we stand in who we are by the grace of God. We are who we are by the grace of God. We are also reflecting. We are also reflecting his truth according to his word and according to the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us and through that redemption, okay? And, okay, now I'm going to move to precious stones or costly things. So this is held in honor, esteemed, okay? Great price, precious. Held in honor, esteemed, and stones prophetically is inner strength, unity, fortitude, and longevity, right? Because we want to finish, we want to cross the finish line with Jesus. As you know, there's certainly things that Peter talked about, us being living stones. Okay, 1 Peter 1:7, it says that the genuineness of your faith, right? It does have to be genuine faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's speaking of the same, thing that Paul did in his words and his understanding. Another thing that's considered precious that's actually written in scripture is the blood, where it says, 1 Peter again, but with the precious blood of Christ as the lamb without blemish and without spot. And then it also in 2 Peter, he also talks about precious promises by which you have been given to exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, going back to gold, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust, which is some other verses that we read in some earlier broadcast this. And a revelation this month, Revelation 18:16, it says, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. So that's what we see in heaven. But these were there because of the foundation of Jesus Christ. And this is what he brought forth, okay? Now, stones, okay, so when I looked this up in the Greek, even though the word in the verse, it does say precious stones, but when you look it up in the Greek, it breaks it down. So precious was one word, and then stones was another word. Okay, that's how it breaks it down when the Greek gives the definition on it. Sometimes it puts two words, it puts them individually. So stones, it says this, because it's this ABC. of small stones, building stones, and a metaphor for Christ. And as soon as I read that, the Holy Spirit, a few seconds after I did that, it was the Lord was saying, the small stones, that's individually. Building stones is corporately. And of course, the metaphor for Christ is upon Christ as we build on Christ. Okay. And so that's where he's just started putting my heart individually and corporately. And then it just started to really unfold. And even in the verse and in our lives that we would do this individually, right? We do it in our everyday life. Sometimes we do it even, you don't even have to leave your home and in your workplace and in your neighborhood and in your community and amongst, you know, your friends and family and in the church. So we are, as we're doing this faithfully, even building your testimony, right? Because if you're serving your family and your home and your neighbors know it, you are a testimony. You are being, your testimony is preceding you. Okay, and come on, there's precious in gold, silver, and precious things in that that cannot be replaced. That, you know, people, sometimes those are difficult, very difficult and trying times to do that. So, yeah, okay. So we know Peter speaks of being living stones and chosen people. I was just going to, I'm not going to read those. So let's go to the wood, hay, and stubble, because these are the things we definitely do on this. So the wood, which is, of course, made of wood, a beam, timber, a log, which I thought was interesting because in the verse where it talks about take the log out of your own eye, right, and see your brother, a staff, a tree. We know Jesus died on a tree. We also know on a cross and on a tree. Well, we also know that there was a tomb that Joseph, I can't think of his name, I'm sorry, but he had a place and he had asked if the body could be laid in his tomb. Like he provided that for Jesus. Now the cross and the wood was made by... you know, that was more so for prisoners, you know, and I think it has to do with like what we're yoking ourselves to. And I just want to say that there might be something more to that and to draw that out. I didn't get a lot on that. I actually just got that right now when I was just reading this now is what we're yoked to. Because the example in scripture is the greater part isn't, well, Jesus died on the cross. And we know that's because he shed his blood and he did it for us, right? It wasn't anything because of what he did. But he died, well, he died on a cross because that was a prisoner's way of death is what basically is what's being said or understood. It's just we've said it for so long for those of us that have been Christians that we forget that part of it. That's the element of why it's coming forth. Okay, so what are you yoked to? And the greater part, even in scripture, is the honoring part of him, the Joseph, I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, who gave up the tomb for Jesus to lay in. And that was for his family, and he gave up his property, you know, and land and property. And that is more talked about that he did that in an honoring way. Okay, so there's that. Now, hay and grass is literally when I looked this up. Okay, so grass, hay, of course, it's just grass. Okay, the implication. Okay, so it's not even really. Okay, so there was a verse there in 1 Peter 1:6 that says, oh, I thought I wrote it out, but it. Yes, it is. It says this, all flesh is as grass, flower of the grass, and the grass withers and the flowers fade away. And so I was like, man, that is so parallel to it being burned up, right? It's going to fade away. But the reference to all flesh is as grass. So the hay and the grass, because hay, wood, hay, and stubble, but it was hay slash grass when I looked it up in the Greek. That's what that word came up to. And then the cross-reference verse given to me was 1 Peter 1:6. I mean, right from, if you researched it, you'd find it too. They'd give you that verse too. And so grass is flesh. So anything we do in the flesh, anything, we got to pay attention to what we're yoked to. We have to not do things in the flesh. That is not going to earn a reward. That's going to be tested and tried and burned up. Okay. I mean, come on. I'm talking to myself too, right? Yes. Yes, I am. So, and Matthew 6:30 says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, I'm sorry, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. So listen, man, I mean, they're even pointing to it. Will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Okay, so faith is an essence of that as well, right? What is going to, what we're going to be clothed with. And if you read Colossians, I think Colossians 4, it talks about clothe yourself in this, put this on, right? It says what to put on and what to put off, maybe Colossians 3. Okay, stubble. Here we go. Stubble, the very last one. Okay, thank you so much. You guys are excellent listeners tonight. Thank you. And I am going to open the phone lines for a minister too. So stubble is a stalk of grain. Okay, so listen to this one. Well, this is like, it's a stalk of grain after the ears have been cut off. So it's not even that the work was done to even harvest anything plentiful. It was actually just taking the stalk with the grain gone. It's completely gone. Like, why even? I mean, I don't know. When are you going to pick your teeth with it? I don't know. I just don't know. Why? So Exodus, let me just make sure I read everything. So straw used, okay. Let me make sure there was nothing that I missed from the Greek. Nope, that's it. Okay, that's all that it was. It says stalk of grain, but it was the stalk after the ears had been cut off. So the plentiful part and the fruitful part had been removed, and it really was just a stalk, meaning just one, just a stalk. Well, one of the 12, which when I was reading this too, the Holy Spirit put this on my heart, this from the Egyptians, and being slaves as well. So this is important for you and I to move out of specifically, I think, right now in this time and place that we're in as a people and a nation and a body of Christ. We really need to take a hold of this, and maybe I can talk about this more next time. But so the reference that it gave was Exodus 5:12. It said, so the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. So do you remember when, and I do know that you do remember this because the people of faith and people of the word, but the Egyptians, when they were with Moses and they were building bricks with straw, okay? And then the Pharaoh was like, okay, no, he began to make things harder on them and said, no, do not provide straw from them. Now they have to go gather it themselves. So they didn't have the straw. They had to actually gather the stubble in order to mix it with the mud to make the bricks, okay? And he demanded an equal amount of production. And if not more, at some point he might have even did more, right? So here all along, the Lord told Moses that they were going to be delivered. He repeatedly had to go back and ask for the deliverance of the people, okay? But the Lord had already set that in place and said that they would do that. And then so now, why would the Lord, let's just suppose this was a question someone would ask during that time, harder on them to get their work done and to have this task, you know, more difficult for them when they're supposed to be getting delivered? Now things get more difficult and they have to go find things. And, you know, they were doing the work, but now it's not being provided for them and they have to go out and find it, right? And this is like right before they literally are delivered. But this, they're happening with this experience, right, where things are getting compounded with their thinking and maybe even their weariness, you know. Well, see, when I looked this up in my prophetic notes, and it actually had first when I read it, and it had 1 Corinthians 3:12 in it. I said, "Wow, this the whole thing just wraps completely around." It talked about that the stubble prophetically has to do with representing conformity, right? And the Lord does not want us to conform to the pattern of this world, right? Romans 12:2, which is right where I started with. I didn't know this either. Right where I started with in August, at the beginning of August. So I do believe that we're in a place of new beginnings. So the Lord does not want us to be conformed to the pattern of this world. And literally, this is what the word said in the prophetic nature of this thing for stubble, is a man-made structure doesn't consider the uniqueness of every person, but Christ does, because we are uniquely gifted. He dispenses his gifts. They are irrevocable, and they're intended for his purpose and for his glory. And do you know why, my friend? It's so that you can be led in faith by the Spirit, using your gifts, talents, time, treasure, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that you yourself may receive a reward. Christ is continually building us up that we might build him up and build his kingdom up. And he is building us up so well. He's building us up for success that we might do this. And when we come before him, such a uniqueness, when we come before him and the things that need to get burned, okay? And what we're left with and the reward that we have before him, and we toss it at his feet, giving him glory, giving him all the honor and the worth, and it's for him. He is esteemed even more, you know, and we are going to be doing this, and we're doing it now, whether it's intentional or unintentional. We are building something, okay, and whether it's in our own flesh, whether we're being conformed to whatever that might be, you know, like if your ultimate goal is to retire, you know, at age 40, and you're pressing into that, that's going to be where your main focus is, you know, and that's where you're going to spend all your time, treasure, energy. But if you're not kingdom-minded, I don't want anyone to suffer any losses, including myself, you know. I don't want that. So I just want us to think through it and to be purposeful and intentional in what we build up. Now, we don't need to run ourselves ragged or do anything to please him. We are already pleasing to him. We simply need to give him the glory for all that he's done in our lives. And we each have a testimony, and it each brings his name glory and esteems him, and it honors him, and it encourages others. It inspires others. It motivates others, and it draws others, and it's to be used for him. And may that be so. May we set ourselves aside, even being conformed, you know, conformed to the image, the pattern of this world, like, you know, even the fear of man, if it says, don't speak up, don't share your testimony, you know, but thing with don't share Christ now in this, you know, you got all these other onlookers, you got all this, whatever it might be that, you know, the enemy lies to you not to press forward with, but we do that, you know. And the beautiful thing too that I love about Christ, and I was telling my husband this on the way home from church, is that, and I've always loved this, and I know I've shared this here before too, is that Christ, to please him, it's by our faith. There is nothing even in this world, culturally, economically, socially, that can grab a hold of our faith. We each have our faith that's being displayed and is pleasing before the Father and him and him alone. And he knows, and he will, he knows our motives, our intents, and of our heart, going to reward us on. And nobody else can touch that. It's not based on any type of conformity of this world. Again, nothing socially, culturally, economically, it's not based on anything like that. No, no, our faith is not. And that's what I love about that, because it can be hidden, it can be precious, and it will be rewarded. Okay, so I hope that encourages you, because it encouraged me. And I thought it was interesting how everything just wrapped around from one end to the other, and that we would build on that individually and corporately. That is our call before the Lord. So bless you, bless all of you, and let's open up these phone lines and get cracking. 910-709, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi. This is Sylvia calling from North Carolina. Hi.
Hi, Sylvia. How are you doing?
All right. And you?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm thanking God for Tuesday. So thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Sylvia, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Just precious in the sight of God. What is the... what is that? Precious in the sight of God. Okay, it's precious in the sight of the Lord. So when it does talk about his faithfulness, but it also talks about rescue the oppression of violence, so precious. Precious in the sight of the death of his faithful servant. Well, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servant. So I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not declaring anything other than life over you. But precious in the sight of the Lord is what I heard. So, wait, let me go. I don't know where. Okay, here I am. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for life. I don't know if you helped. I don't know. Maybe. I know the Lord sometimes has had me help transition, people transitioning from this earth to heaven. He does use me in that way. And I don't know if that's part of a type of ministry that you use, or that you have something on the forefront with that or not. But...
transition. Oh, I've done some of that before in the nursing home.
Okay. Yeah. Because there is a framing time of where people are actually getting ready to leave this earth and transition and go to heaven. Yeah. I mean, and then there is that place where, like, hospice actually calls a time of transition, like they're in transition, which is like a 48-hour window or something of, like, they're going to pass within this time frame. Yeah. But precious in the sight of the Lord. So I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. And I'm going to just go back to Peter declaring that precious is your blood. Precious are your promises. Those are precious in the sight of the Lord as well. We thank you for life is precious, God. We thank you even the transitioning of life, God, is a precious time, Lord, and delicate, Father, Jesus' name, precious love, precious promises. So thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the things that are precious in your sight, Lord. And Lord, we know you love your children. Lord, you love your daughter, Sylvia, Father God. And hey, I know what I'm going to do. Hold on. I'm going to Okay, so precious, I just thought to look up the word precious. Yeah, it says, use as a term to address for a beloved person and of great value, not wasted or treated carelessly. So, yeah, that's really good. Precious. Yeah, of great value, not not to be wasted or treated carelessly, precious in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, and I think that's, can I address the beloved person? Yes, that is probably what the Lord is speaking over you, you know, that you are precious in the sight of the Lord as his beloved. And two, okay, yeah, so going back to the, not the transfer thing, but the transition is even treating God's people that are precious in his sight as well as he treats us, you know, and treating God's people that same way, transitioning. There might be people, and, you know, so, and not just transitioning from leaving this earth to heaven, but also transitioning from leaving the world and coming into the kingdom of God, like salvations. Those people mm-hmm. are transitioning. Yeah. That's what I got, and I don't know how else to to draw out of it anymore. Yeah, then the reference of you are precious and beloved in his sight, and okay. whether you help people transition, which means, you know, you're not living, okay, when I go back to that, you're not living carelessly or wasting anything. That's good news, you know. I mean, that's a good
Amen.
Word, you know. Yeah. And yeah, and that you are his beloved. I mean, I just think it's endearing when the Lord speaks of us personally and those types of terms. And then ministering, you know, when you bring somebody into the kingdom of God or that's just come over and their light's been turned on, you know, that's precious too in God's sight, you know, and to treat them the same way you would treat any other believer, as if they've already made it. Do you know what I mean? But you're also discipling them at the same time, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because it's like you're speaking to them saying, like, it's like the undercurrent is like you already have it in you because of the power of Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
And, yeah, you were made for this. This is what you're made for. This is why God turned your light on, because you have that power. You have that, you know. And I think that's really important, too, because I see, too, like people that need that type of encouragement, and they need the understanding of how to walk it out, you know, in practical ways that's not shaming or doesn't say they're a failure, you know, especially those
right.
that are just now coming into the faith, you know.
Yes.
So how are you doing? Is there anything we can pray for specifically?
Yes, actually, I am transitioning. The Lord has finally, he told me that I was believing for a house, and I'm in the state of looking now. So I am transitioning from where I'm living to, you know, somewhere else. And
okay.
I'm just, so when you said transitioning, which it could be a lot of things, yeah, so I'm going from here to, you know, my new place. But I was just, I was just in here, and my spirit is down a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know what's going on? Or
yes, I have a brother. He does drugs, and he just I guess talked a little rough to me, and pretty much told me if I was a Christian, you know, I guess, you know, pretty much, you know, how when people want you to do things, they want you to do. So, So if I was a Christian, I would do this. And I just sort of got, you know, a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like my sister, before she was saved with her family and stuff, they put a higher expectation on me because I was a Christian than what they needed to actually take responsibility for themselves, you know?
And
I think maybe your brother too probably is, you know, unbeknownst to him, like, I don't know that he even did it intentionally or not intentionally. I don't even know if he's aware. But anytime, go ahead.
Well, he has an addiction problem. And so that's why I've been believing, you know, to leave. And it's almost time, but it's just that, you know, sometimes it gets rough, even as a Christian, living with, you know, people that, you know, are not saved, or they're living with you, they sort of moved in on you.
Yeah, and sometimes, too, with that, as they don't like the fact that you actually have boundaries, which you do because of Christ in you, and that you can actually live free, like that's legit, you know. So I think because of that place that he, and again, when I say unbeknownst to even him, that he's in this type of prison, or he's locked in this place, and he doesn't know how to get out of it, but he sees that you are. And I think that that bothers him, and so he strikes at you, but really it's his own pain, you know. And it's unfortunate what he's doing to you, and that he doesn't see it, you know. And he wants a way out, but since you do have, you know, a good life, he's trying to inflict his own pain on you. So try not to, and I know it's difficult because I've had people do this to me as well, you know, that, and it's very hurtful, especially when you sincerely love someone and you see they're hurting and you devote yourself, you know, in prayer to them and, you know, other things, you know. You know, because the enemy can use it to really, like, silence you or, you know, hurt, you know, cause where it becomes so hurtful or so painful that that you don't want to be ineffective. That doesn't mean you have to prove you're over your pain or and not feel it. Do you know what I mean? Like, take the time to feel it and to walk through it, but allowing for what it is. Like, see your part for what it is and then see his part for what it is as well, you know, and not carry any abusive words, you know, like if he's trying to control you. But, you know, sometimes people who are controlling or have addictions, they sometimes will wound people emotionally, and then that's just part of their process. That's part of how they cycle around.
Yeah.
So let's pray for that. And so did you already find a place to go, or?
I know I'm still looking. I had to, God had gave a word that when my paperwork goes in that he already has it set up that it's going to be approved. So I'm just looking. Yeah, I'm just looking now.
Okay. Well, let's just pray for you and the other saints. Pray for you, Father. We just thank you for Sylvia, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pull out any arrows from the enemy, God, and darts, Lord, and these wounds placed, Father God, that just took her unexpectedly. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for your healing balm to touch her, God, and to relieve them, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort. and you are ever-present help in our time of need, God. So we pray, God, even the needs that she has that I don't even know how to communicate, God, or know how to ask, Father, and things maybe she hasn't even stated, God. I ask for your presence to come and to fill them, God, and to lead her and to guide her, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a great work, Lord, that you would do for her more, God, than she could ask, more than she could think or even imagine, God, that you would go above and beyond to make supply for her and then through this transition and this new housing thing, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that you have spoken, Lord, that they would be precious promises that would come to pass, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for praying. And
yeah. Yes, and if God be for you, who could be against you? So,
amen. Well, thank you, and bless you.
Thank you, too. You're very precious, so thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Okay. I didn't ask her brother's name, but we could just pray. Father, we thank you for freeing him from the grips of this addiction. And you loose him, Father. We thank you that your name is above every other name. God, a name of, and Colossians talks about every name of principality, power, ruler, dominion, in dark places, God, that your name rules and reigns in his life, and that you bring clarity and loose these grips and the talons of the enemy, the grips of the enemy that has him, that they would be loosened and broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, caller 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Julia May from Alabama.
Hi. Oh, is it Gina May or Julia May?
Julia May.
Julia May. Okay. For a second, I thought you said Gina May, and I was going to say, this whole time have I been calling you the wrong name? Oh, my goodness.
No.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This evening, a pleasure to have you. God bless you. So, Father, thank you. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for Julia May. God, I just bring her to your altar of grace, God. In Jesus' name, I see the Lord hemming a garment, like a garment being hemmed. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. So it's like an ancient, you know, like the ancient garment being hemmed. Let me just see. Well, I know one verse, but I just want to see how many. I've never looked at this word here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some names are coming up, but okay. Let me see. Psalm 139:5, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's the hem of the garment. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have to leave my windows open. So we thank you, Father, Lord. We just thank you. Yeah. Because I do see the, when I seen the garment, it was the hem behind me. Yeah. It was being hemmed behind. It literally was. It was just like the feet and the garment and this hemming of the garment was being done. So let me just pull up. I know it's probably all of read Psalm 139, but I haven't read it in a while. I want to see. So this is verse 5. I want to just see what the verse before it and after it says. So the verse 4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, which I do pray that a lot. and you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Yeah. Good. So thank you, Lord, just for this hemming in and the protection, God, and even the garment, which means he supplies for you. And we thank you, Lord, you know, even the garments that they had, you know, it being hemmed means that, you know, you're walking and you're running before the Lord. It's not going to be tripped up. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. And so I thank you, Lord, for just what I'm seeing, Lord, and just your beautiful hand of care in Jesus' name. Yeah. So thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's really, really beautiful. It was like it's almost like a movie scene. Like, oh, very nice. So praise God. So how are you doing?
Just fine.
Okay. Good news. Good. Well, do you have any prayer requests this evening, or?
Yes, I have a prayer for my nephew. His wife still in the hospital, and she didn't have strokes, and they found a blood clot, and they wanted to kind of remove them, but it's not a good out, because a lot of the blood clot, they were saying, you know, maybe an hour or so after, and it's been almost like 2 weeks, and she, you know, they've taken her out the coma, but she still hasn't woke up. She's still not waking up, and they can't understand why.
Oh. So she had, they think she had a stroke, and then she, did you say a blood clot?
Yeah, she got a blood clot. They want, you know, they want to remove, because like I said, she had double pneumonia, and then when they got another, she left one hospital, went to another, and they said she had COVID, and her kidneys had shut down, and her lungs weren't doing good. They got her, you know, doing the dialysis, and she responded one time, but now, that had been a week ago, but now, you know, they're trying to, like I said, and then yesterday they put a trach in. They took out the belly and put a trach and trying to see how she does, but she's not responding. She's not doing anything now. Mm. And I was reading somewhere about, you know, how trying to move blood clots, and someone said, you know, they really try to get them, you know, right after they find them. But, you know, it's been 2 weeks now.
Wow. Okay. So how long has she been off of the
ventilator?
It
had to be really yesterday, because that's when they put the trach in. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right, yes. Lord, yeah, let's just pray for her. I'm going to pray this verse over her in Psalm 103. Lord, we just lift up. Wait, did you tell me her name? I didn't ask.
Denise.
I didn't think. Denise?
Mm-hmm.
Jenny's, right?
Denise. D-E-N-N-I-S-E. Denise.
Oh, Denise. Okay. I think we did. Oh, yes. Denise, right? Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I do remember you telling me that last week. And because I remember asking you to spell it, too. So I apologize. So, Father, we just lift her up, God, as saints, Lord. We just lift up your word, God, in faith, Lord, in obedience. Continue to pray for Denise, Father, God, that you would touch and heal her body, God. We ask for recovery, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and restoration, God. Let the breath of life breathe on her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, God, we pray Psalm 103, God, praise the Lord. That her soul would praise the Lord, that all of her innermost beings would praise your holy name, God. We thank you, Lord, that her soul would forget not all your benefits, who forgives all of her sins and heals all of her diseases. You redeem her life from the pit, and you crown her with love and compassion, and you satisfy her, God, with good things, Lord, and let her be renewed in Jesus' name, God. And we thank you for your works of righteousness and justice, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your compassions, Lord, and your graciousness, Lord, that that through your loving kindness, Lord, you redeem our lives from destruction, Father. And we ask this and pray this now together, Lord, with all of the saints, Lord. And we pray, God, that your word would do its work, Lord, and that there would be a miracle, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. It's your excellence of power, Lord, that would be displayed and known in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Joseph did do a good shave appointment. Thursday, go back to the heart specialist. So, but she went to the doctor last Thursday, and she's doing fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. That's wonderful. Very good. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you. And I keep you updated.
Bye. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. 954-580. Oh, good evening.
Hi, good evening. This is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. Okay, awesome. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's pray for you. Lord, I just lift up Caroline for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bring her before your altar of grace, Father. I just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing, a washing of healing, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for just clothing her with compassion, Lord. Actually, I was speaking of that verse a little bit earlier, but let me find it in Colossians. Let's see if it's Colossians 3 or 4. Yeah, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We thank you, Lord, that those are received actually by the grace of God, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for those virtues, Lord, and that you would bind them together in unity in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for that. And so also like this washing and soaking, a type of like soaking, being saturated by the Holy Spirit. Like he carries you, this soaking of these garments. Sometimes the garments in like a cloak has to do too with like our calling and our anointing. And so I see it being as you carry it, means like where you go, it's being saturated with the Holy Spirit. And it leaves evidence. When you travel and when you go place to place as evidence of the Holy Spirit, people say like you spill over on them, but you're leaving evidence in Jesus' name. And the fact that you're leaving evidence is important, and not just spilling over on people, but you're leaving evidence is because there's other people who are actually searching, who are hungry and searching and looking, and they're actually finding they're finding evidence even after you've gone, even after you've left, and because you've been there, but they're finding the evidence that they're looking for even when your presence has moved on. And this is why it's very important that you, again, you're not just spilling over on the person who that you're ministering to, but as you travel and as you go, this anointing and calling that you have on your life is so saturated in the Holy Spirit that, you know, it's dripping, but it's leaving evidence. It's leaving evidence, and people are seeing it. Like, they might not be able to put it all together, and even, but even their hearts are longing for certain things of the Holy Spirit to be filled and satisfied, and that hole in their heart to finally, you know, be filled, if you will. And so even before they know maybe how to put it into words what their need is, before they come to even the full understanding, but searching, and, you know, like their hearts are searching. And they're coming across evidence. They're finding evidence, and a trail. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you can remember before you were saved, unless you were a child, but I was in my early 20s, and but I can remember after I was saved, I said to the Holy Spirit, how come I didn't know about this earlier? How come nobody told me about this sooner? And when I said that prayer, you know, and talking before the Lord, he played this tape in my mind of all the people who tried to share Jesus with me. And I was just, you know, my ears were deaf to it and my eyes were blind. But, and then there were other places where people was like, oh yeah, I recognized something different. Like, it had my attention for a split second, like an almond sliver of a time, like things stopped, you know, but it was like, it was his nature in time at that intersection of time where it was, you know, prophetically supposed to be met, so that I could, begin to unlock something in me, you know, and that's what's happening when people are finding the evidence. So I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I don't have knowledge of what your, type of ministry that is that you do when you minister and by your anointing, but it's certainly saturated with the Holy Spirit, which to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, we do have to have an understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, spend time with him, honor him, and be yielding and responsive to the Holy Spirit. And there's really a big place, too, where we live in truth. And so because that broadens a place of the Holy Spirit within us as well, because it gives more room for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Caroline's life, God. I thank you, Lord, for where you have her to minister, God. I thank you, Lord, just for your words to come forth, Lord, that you would nurture her and wash her in your word, Lord, and that you would preserve this gift, preserve this calling, preserve this saturation in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, God. We just pray in advance for those who will find the evidence, those who need the evidence, those that are searching for evidence, and those who she directly ministers to, Father God, would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would use these in fruitful ways for her life, Lord, that they would be ways, Lord, that are building up the body of Christ, Lord, individually and corporately, God, and they would indeed be things of gold, silver, and precious stones that would be tested in the fire and would come forth with purity and with a great reward before you. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, her battery must have, her call dropped. I didn't even say I had my eyes closed. I was praying. So praise God for that. So now I'm going to move on unless she calls back. that I'll open up. I think, oh, no, wait a second. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, I just opened a phone line, but let me come back to you for 1 second. I have, oh, no, she did call back, so hold on. Here she is. Okay. Okay,
hello.
Sorry about that. Hi, sorry about
thank
that.
You.
I closed my eyes to pray, and then I realized I looked up, and that has a little thing when the call drops, and I was like, well, maybe she'll call back. And then I realized your number was there. So, okay, well, praise God. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that word. I missed a part, but I will go back and I will re-listen.
Okay. Good.
When the call drops. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because my I did have my eyes closed and I was just pressing it. So, is there anything specific you'd like us to pray for this evening?
Yes. Thank you. I just want you to pray. I commit to the remainder of the year in the hands of the Lord. I am in a transitioning stage of my life, and I have opted to stop working to enhance my career, to do some studies to enhance my career. And I just want to pray that the Lord will just provide the finances that I need throughout my stint of not working, and the Lord will just be with me while I study, and to have let His will be done in my life. In that regard, amen.
And to have His what in your life? I'm sorry, what was the last part?
Let His will be done.
Oh, His will be done. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yes, absolutely. We'll pray for you. So, Father God, we just thank you for Caroline, Father, during this transition and her finances and this job, God. We just ask, Lord, we ask for the peace of God, Lord, to come, Lord, as she trusts in you fully, Lord, as Proverbs says, Lord, continuing to fully trust in you, God, that you she would commit her way to you, even as she's done privately before you, God, and even as she's doing this evening, God, you know, declaring it publicly that she's committing her way to you, Father God, that you would indeed direct her steps and direct her path, God. And we thank you, Lord, that even in that, Lord, that would be saturated with the Holy Spirit, God, and giving evidence to, I still kind of feels like it's connected to the word that I give, but giving evidence to the Holy Spirit in her life, God, and these paths that she walks on, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the will of God to be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your kingdom come and your will to be done in her life, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for giving to her her daily bread, Lord, and her daily manna, God, her daily bread, Lord, and the natural, Lord, that you make provision, Lord, and provide for the finances, Lord, to live in dignity, Father God, and also spiritually, Lord, you would give her her daily bread, God. And I thank you, Lord, that her eyes would be open, Lord, and that if she has a need where your word says, let your request be known, that she would ask before you, God, and when she has that need, Lord, that she wouldn't even try to fill it in her own sense, Lord, her own logic, but she would ask you. She would ask of you, God, and we ask you to fill that, God. Even all of us right now, God, just a place unlocking of faith where we have a need. Lord, we just place that. I mean, like three things just came to me that I didn't even think to ask before I prayed that prayer. We just lay that before you, God, what that need is, Lord, and ask you to fill it, Lord, and to provide for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for as we cast the whole of our care on you. You care for us, Lord, and we're trusting you in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for calling
and
joining us. Yes. You're a very precious woman. So thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Goodbye. Okay, I'm sorry. Go back over here to 847-239. Thank you for being patient. Who am I speaking to?
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us and being patient. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie. Lord, we just bring her to your altar of grace, God, and just lift her up to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life, Lord, and how you're raising her up, Lord, and how she's reflecting your light, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your covering over her, Lord, over her mind, Lord, and just protecting that and preserving that. And I don't know if the Lord is going to, I don't recall if you've ever shared this, I don't know, any type of teaching or if he's preparing you to teach. And teach can be very different in very different ways. And so I don't know if there's a type of teaching that he's preparing you for or covering you with and preserving you with for the time to come. And, you know, like let's say if the Lord is showing you something to even like you're experiencing it and you're writing it out, even if it's just like your journal. And then you realize, oh, that's really teachable. You know, you just share it with a friend and it's like, oh, that's teachable. Or seeing you like illuminating your mind with some different prompts, like giving you pieces or like a few sentences, maybe a title, something like that, that he wants you to begin to steward that before him, because it's a preparation for where he's leading you. And he's actually teaching you. So the important part of this is that whatever, however that's going to look and whatever he's going to use it for in the future is, I don't see that part. I mean, I could see it being true, but I'm not seeing what that directive is. What I'm seeing is the immediate of taking that and pressing into it a little more by just being a good steward with it and begin writing that out, because what you're going to learn is the process of the due diligence in his word and how he's speaking to you. And in that particular process and in building that prepares you for where he's going to lead you next, how that's going to affect others, how that's going to, you know, what that's going to develop in you so that you have that skill and you have that presence before the Lord. So it's most preserved and pure and defined and diligent. And, in diligence before him, before you offer it to anyone else. So if anyone says to you, hey, Stephanie, I want you to come speak to us on such and such topic, and it just seems so big and so overwhelming, and you think to yourself, well, I can't do that, or I can't, you know, or whatever the invitation is to come speak on, maybe not just the topic, maybe it has something to do with the group of people or whatever it might look like. And so, but then you've already learned the skill to seek him first and to go before him and to hear him and to do that due diligence. Like, hey, does he have a word for this that I'm supposed to bring and that I'm supposed to release? And then that's where your focus is, even as you walk through it, wherever he brings you, your diligence and your confidence are going to come before him first, and then it'll be released later. So it doesn't matter how, like, I don't know. I mean, let's, I don't, so wherever the place he brings you to share or to speak to or whatever, it could be in different realms. I mean, I've heard women speak, the word of the Lord come forth like at a business meeting before at this, I can't think what the name of those business meetings are, but anyway, so what you're doing is you're being obedient to the Lord, and you know that. And so it doesn't matter what their faces look like. It doesn't matter what the title of the place is, what the name of the place. It could be Coca-Cola. It could be, it could be whatever, anything that, nothing, it wouldn't intimidate you because of the preservation of developing it before the Lord first and knowing what that's like. So I see a preservation, some sort of illumination and preservation over your mind. And, but it's also very intentional of the Lord. It's just not, it's very intentional. And so, and coming before him again and just allowing yourself to, begin the process of what he's showing you by writing that out, doing your due diligence and just getting that process, putting things onto paper. And if you have to reorganize it, revamp it, whatever, but it's really getting to know how he speaks to you when you're with him personally, because there is a preservation on that. I really see a preservation on that. And it's for, so again, I can just reiterate everything that I just said, but that's what I see. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel like I needed to hear that. So that was good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I really did see. It really is a good, it really is a really, really good thing. The thing is you have to be diligent before him first, and then the thing will break open, steward it, and even ask, I think we all, I probably could do this to myself, is like inquire of the Lord a little bit more, like, hey, I have that testimony, or I have this, or whatever, is there some place I'm supposed to steward this or release it, or what does it look like, and how do I form it and shape it, And anyway, but praise be to God for what he's doing in your life. Do you have any prayer requests?
For me, it's just to, I really just want to walk in full authority and just have like perfect peace and perfect love. Like in everything I do, because I feel like if I'm settling in my relationship with God, then it bothers me a lot, and I feel like it's unnecessary pain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good word. There's wisdom in that for sure. So Lord, we just thank you for Stephanie. Lord, we come into agreement, Lord, with her walking in authority, Father, in Jesus' name, her full authority, God, and the peace, Lord, the developing the peace of righteousness within her, Father God, and we thank you for your perfect love, Lord, that you give your children, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your sufficiency of your power, which is by your grace, God. So we thank you, Lord, that that it is by the Spirit, Lord, and that our souls are being sanctified, God. So I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, that she would nourish her spirit and bless her spirit daily, that her spirit would come to the forefront and she would walk in the Spirit, and her soul would be subservient to the Spirit within her, God, and that you would be able to define that. She would be able to define her spirit from her soul so well within her, God, that she recognizes the Holy Spirit and is quick to yield and quick to respond and is resilient to the schemes of the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for developing that. I thank you, God, for her hunger and her thirst after you, God, and her willingness and obedience. Lord, may she eat of the fruit of the land, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
that. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure in the Word and in God's grace. And just being encouragement one to another and our strength that the Word has given. And as we walk with Him, so I might end just a little bit early tonight. Let's see. Was there any other testimony I was going to share this week? The Lord... sometimes when the Lord will speak to us in nature, sometimes to show us when we are even just walking prophetically, timely in His moment and in His place, you know, when you think of someone and you make a phone call and then you realize later, like, they were on the other line with somebody. It's just like the timing of it is, but you just thought of them and you just thought it was you. And that you needed to do that. This is the right time to do it, you know, and to realize the follow through in that is, and then learning where it was the Holy Spirit that was leading you is actually cultivating the voice of the Lord and how He speaks. And then sometimes you can begin to realize that when you see things prophetically, like in nature, that are confirming things that are happening, you know, or the Lord is trying to show you, this is confirming, like, you know, sometimes I might have a thought while I'm driving or my husband's driving and I'm thinking about one certain thing or whatever. And then all of a sudden I will see the dragonflies, and there might be two of them, and they're flying like in tandem and stuff. And the Lord, I've come to learn to realize that He's showing me, like, that thing that you're thinking about, that is in tandem. That is a spiritual thought. Like, there's a higher discernment spiritually that you're thinking and pondering, but it's in tandem to me. And not to just, you know, not to take it lightly or just think it's just me. That's just how I process, or, you know, or like, I'm too deep of a person, or, you know, not to dismiss it or to minimize it in any way, but it really is the Spirit of the Lord, like, teaching me and showing me. And especially if you are prophetic, it's sometimes we do need to be around each other because we understand each other quite well. How the Lord speaks and how things are, where we don't have to actually go through a process where you have to explain, really long process of explaining how the Lord spoke to us. You just know it's the Lord. And even if you take a shortcut sometimes in telling people, if you recorded that and heard that back to you, you would maybe doubt someone telling you as well, but because you're actually living it and experiencing it so well within the spirit, within your own soul, and there's so much truth there and understanding that you're grasping it and you're trying to walk it out and trying to, I mean, like, that's where I have sometimes get snagged or whatever. And still, even with my husband for over 30 years, we've been married 34 years this year. And so, I mean, he knows me really well when I do take shortcuts, but sometimes if I don't take the time to explain, where I'm just having a natural conversation and then I say something supernatural, but I say it in a natural sentence, it can be misconstrued and or it could get buried within his ear, you know. And then I don't want to feel like it was stepped on my end, like, oh, he just stepped on that and squashed it or whatever. It's like I have to remember how to communicate. And then what I'm, you know, some things I just get very excited about, and thrilled about, and I just want to share it with him. And but not all those things are, you know, it's like some things the Lord's just doing in me, like, you know, and he's not going to, he's not going to grasp it as like maybe another prophetic person is, or so, you know, just trying to be mindful of, but when the Holy Spirit speaks and our faith gets revved up, we can jump ahead just like Peter did. So anyway, 251-229, good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Kim.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. Did you say Kim?
Sarah.
Oh, Sarah, I'm sorry. I have no idea where Kim came out of that. Okay, thank you for joining us. Are you
That's
feeling
okay.
better?
Yeah. Yeah, feeling a lot better.
Good. I'm
Thank the Lord.
Yes, and your mother too. Was it your mother?
Yes, I lost my mother, and
oh,
it,
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. It was last week, and it took me a while, but the Lord gave me the strength to make it. So I'm still in mourning, but I'm making it, and I thank you for your condolences.
Yes, I'm so sorry to hear that. I had no idea, and I'm glad that I asked. And I know when I lost my mom last December, well, now here at the house, I have this little picture my daughter gave me, which is very sweet, from when my mom was at her wedding. My mom had her camera. She had her camera around her neck, so which is sweet, and just a very sweet picture of joy on her face. And so there's plenty of times I still miss my mom. And there was a vase that I got from my mom's house that I picked up. So the two of them are like side by side. And there are very many days where I say I miss her. And so, and I know the initial is very difficult. So let's pray for that first, and then we'll proceed to pray for you. So, Father, we just thank you for Sarah, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we just come alongside of her, Lord, and just want to encourage and lift her up, God, and ask, Lord, that you would meet her, Lord, with your presence, and continue to meet with her with your presence, God, to engraft her into your care, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your comfort, Lord, that you call yourself the God of all comfort, Lord. So every place and every area that needs comfort, Lord, and even in ways and places that we wouldn't even know to ask, Lord, that she has need of, we ask that your comfort would encompass her, God, in Jesus' name, and cover her, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for your strength and your grace to be near in the name of Jesus and to hold her up, God. In Jesus' name, we ask for the wisdom and the insight of God, Lord, to if there be, you know, details and follow-up things, God, that you would be with her, Lord, and that nothing would slip through the cracks, Lord, but your presence, Lord, would surround her and her family members, Lord, and any siblings and all those that loved her mom, God, that you would be with them to comfort them, God. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking your word to her and even teaching her to pray through this as well, God. And we thank you, Lord, because in your word, Father, there's really no place where it talks about how we let go Lord, really, in relationships, Lord, because they're always building and we're always being knit together, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that even in this transition that she has, Lord, that teach her and she would ask of you, Father, and you would make your provision for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I thank the Lord for you and your prayers. That's so sweet. Thank the Lord for you.
Yeah, yeah. God bless you. So let me just pray and see if the Lord has anything specific for you. So, Lord, I just thank you for Sarah, God, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, I was seeing one of those, like, peppermint candies. Like, sometimes you see them at, like, the little circle ones, and they're the swirly, like, half red or pink, whatever color that is, and then half white. So the little mm-hmm. peppermint things. But then I was thinking in reference, in tandem to that, the Holy Spirit was just speaking about when the children do the candy cane at Christmas time, it's pink and white, the peppermint stick or whatever, the candy cane. And then they turn it upside down and it's a J for Jesus. And mm-hmm. there's some sort of something, I don't remember the story regarding the pink and the white, unless it's just about salvation and the sweetness of that. I know, but there's this little, like, I don't know if it's two or three sentences sometimes that get attached to the candy cane that explain something about it or the story mm-hmm. behind it or something. But I think there's mm-hmm. something there about even learning more about the sweetness, because I'm seeing it's more like, something with the story of the candy cane, with it being red and white, there's a part of that. I don't recall all of that. But because I had seen the mint part first, like the circle part thing, there is, so the maturity part of it is learning even in a greater way. And it might just be like just meditating. Because, you know, when you have like the mint in your mouth, you're just, it's a slow process, you know, in which it takes to actually consume it. And so just being with Jesus and getting the sweetness of who he is and a greater depth and a greater understanding, just really being saturated and sinking into your, like taking it in slowly, but learning of it. And then it really becomes yours, you know, like into your bloodstream and into your, you know, the flow of who you are. And so that's what I'm seeing and understanding through the revelation of that picture, you know. So do you know, because actually halfway through I was speaking, I was like remembering that you worked with children. So do you know the little thing with the candy cane?
Yes, and it's amazing that you, the Lord has you mentioned it, because my mother loved candy canes. She loved the old-fashioned candy canes.
Oh my
she
gosh,
loved
I'm
them. She
goosebumps.
Used them as a medicine.
Oh my gosh, I am incredible. Oh my gosh, I could just cry. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, that's what really got me. I said, oh my, this is amazing. This is the Lord, because I tell you, she loved the old-fashioned candy canes,
mm-hmm.
and she would use them for, sometimes she'll say, well, they just give me the natural, you know, the natural little sugary high, and then she'll say, well, no,
yeah.
I like them because they have the medicine in them. She just, and when you start mentioning the candy canes, that was, wow.
Wow.
Oh.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, there's something there, though, even with the, dealt with Jesus and just taking that in and the sweetness. So there has to be something even still more yet, like with your mom, you know. There was a, and I'm not saying it has to be this either. This just came to mind as, just came to my remembrance as I said that, but my mom's name was Grace. And when she passed at, there was something I just had an unction to like pass on to like another little girl who maybe didn't have a mother or lost her mother early or something like that, you know, something of the sort. And I was just kind of praying about it, but I was thinking of even the words like extended grace and somehow to minister out of that when Christmas came, because Christmas was my mom's favorite time of year, you know, and my mom passed it was the first week in December. And so, anyways, what came was at the church, there was like a compassion week. So there was a little girl from Guatemala. But I had written this, I don't know if it was a blog, but kind of was a short blog version of just really what the Lord put on my heart and calling it extended grace. But the reason I was doing it and for the purpose, you know, and extending grace to another for my mom's purpose, you know, in honor of my mom, you know, but for the sake for, to, you know, and for the reason and the purpose that I was doing it. So anyways, that's a whole different thing, but maybe there's something there. I don't know. I mean, you could maybe, I don't know, maybe the Lord, if you meditate on that some more, show you how that came up with the candy cane. Yeah, I don't know. That's just incredible.
Yeah, that is so incredible because my mother loved candy canes. Oh, she had to have them almost every day. She had to.
Really?
Uh-huh. That's so sweet. I'm like, Jesus, I mean, thank you so much. You know, that's so sweet because she loved candy canes.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so wonderful.
Wow.
I just love Jesus. Oh. Just for the Lord bringing it back into full fruition that, you know, the memory of her wanting to take the candy cane and we know that the candy cane has the meaning for purity and the blood and everything that the Lord did for us is so meaningful and my mother we would take communion together and just so meaningful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow, that's really nice. It's a precious relationship.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Aw. Well, as awkward as it is for me to have to end, I'm glad that it is such a beautiful, precious revelation of the Lord that came forth for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I thank the Lord for you and those memories, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, praise God. I'm glad it was healing. Yes, a revelation, a healing word. So praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. And as I think of you, I will continue to pray for you. So
God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Pleasure to be here. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.